defending your freedom every single day. From the GunBroker.com studios, this is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Here's your host, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense begins right now. Before I even get started, do you read the Drudge Report anymore? Do you even bother with it anymore? I don't. I'll pop in there from time to time just to see what anti-Trump, never-Trump garbage. I don't know what's up with Matt Drudge. I have no idea. I mean, if you look at the website, it's continuous. It's not just happenstance every once in a while. You know, earlier today, I took a screenshot for you here. I haven't been back. I think it was about 1:30 Eastern time. That, what is it, about 7 after right now? If you're listening to the program live, 7 after 4 p.m. Eastern time, somewhere around there. Republicans fear 2020 wipeout. Key Republicans' retirement suggests doubts about retaking House. Next headline, Dem see hopes rising. It's just one positive Dem deal after another and one anti-Trump deal after another over at Drudge Report. I don't bother with it anymore. I would hope that you don't waste your time with it anymore, too. Not to mention the fact that it's incredibly stressful to read this stuff with these headlines, you know, just the doom, the gloom. It's really, really, really difficult. Unfortunately, I have to look at this stuff, but I try to stay off Drudge now just because it's nonsense anymore. And it looks to me as if they're just pushing an agenda as well as everybody else. So it's kind of sad. Sad to see that. Don't know if you thought that or not. Oh, there's a couple things I want to cover with you today. I got a couple emails. Seems Vox, these far left groups. I got to tell you, though, I got to throw some props where they're due, mad props. The Trace and Vox and a couple others have actually covered the National Rifle Association's undoing at its own hand. They've been pretty accurate. As much as I hate to say that, it's very true, but I'll throw mad props where they're due. I'll cover some of that with you in just a minute. Yale law school students, Joshua Feinzig and Joshua Zoffer, I have no idea who they are, students at Yale, about all I can tell you, have written a piece over at The Atlantic, which is a joke to read. I'm going to cover a couple bits and pieces of it. But it bases, it's what they're talking about is essentially making the case for, trying to anyway, a constitutional case for gun control, which they use their First Amendment rights to essentially tell you that the Constitution, that gun control is constitutional, and we can use the Constitution to prove that. But of course, it requires all kinds of changes to the Constitution and its readings in order to do so. We'll cover some of that in a little bit for you. It's kind of funny, actually, because their entire argument is based on an amici brief written by March for Our Lives kids. And stressing, I'll go there in a minute, emotion, okay? I'll explain in just a couple of minutes. National Rifle Association, back in the news. Again, I've gotten a couple emails from you. This is something I don't even really want to cover, but I kind of have to. So I'm going to, because it's actually too good, really. As I said just a couple seconds ago, a couple of the anti-gun organizations like the Trace and Vox and these liberal groups have gotten their writings about this correct. They have gotten this right. The NRA over at Vox, the headline is, the NRA just called its own video network distasteful and racist. And this is stemming from what has become a very brutal public fight between the National Rifle Association and its longtime partner, Ackerman McQueen, otherwise known as ACMAC, how we'll refer to it here, their advertising firm. And the fact that Wayne LaPierre has quite frankly, been outed with his ridiculous expenditures. Those numbers are public, and it's very difficult for anybody to justify those numbers when you're a tax-exempt organization. I'm sorry, it just is. I've been very vocal about my distaste, if you will, for Wayne LaPierre lately and what is going on at the National Rifle Association. I will not change my opinion on that ever. In fact, my distaste grows every single day. I find it hard to look at Wayne LaPierre's photograph now without wanting to go, blech. Worse than that, but it's quite sickening. So let me tell you briefly why is the NRA back in the news again? Well, these court filings keep coming out and they're made public. And when they're made public, you see just how nasty this battle is shaping up to be. And Vox is writing about it, and I'm going to be honest with you. They did a really good job. The piece is really good. Let me read you the headline. The NRA just called its own video network distasteful and racist, but the advertising firm that built NRA TV says the NRA is self-destructing. And it's correct. I would encourage you to go read this. You can find it at thegunfeed.com if you don't want to search the headline. It is the lead story, or was the lead story earlier in the day. I don't know if it's been changed. I haven't been back. I've already done my triage for the day. I'm not going back again. If I do, it would just blow every day's content out of the water. My gosh, I'd have to keep going back. It's coming at us so fast. But there's another complaint, another new complaint on the 25th that I guess the Daily Beast reported on first, claiming the gun rights organization's infamous culture war publicity strategy was largely constructed by Ackerman McQueen, and that the NRA executives found its work distasteful and racist, and it goes back to a Thomas the Train thing. I won't rehash all that. You can read this yourself. The takeaway is what I'm concerned with. I'm not going to beat this dead horse again. Here's what I want you to know, because a number of you have written me asking for my opinion on what's happening at the National Rifle Association. Again, transparency, I don't work for the NRA, never have. They've never paid me. I'm a member of many, many years. I am still a member of many years for now. Notice I said that for now. They have never called me and asked me for advice. I've never called them and offered them advice. I have had their representatives as guests on this program over the years. They have not been on in quite some time. I have no intention of bringing anyone from the National Rifle Association on the program in the near future whatsoever for a number of different reasons. Because in large part, because I, as the host of the program, the producer of the program, choose not to. I don't want to give them any airtime right now because they're not doing us any favors as gun owners right now. Not a one. They have abdicated their responsibilities, and I am sick to my stomach as to what I'm watching happen over at the NRA. So I want to give you my prediction. A number of you wrote and said, I guess a lot of you had seen this or had heard the news in other venues. What do you think is going to happen at the NRA was the gist of the emails. I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. I think we are at a point with the National Rifle Association. This is just my observation. With Wayne LaPierre, and I could be wrong, that Wayne is much like a jilted husband or wife at this stage of the game. If I can't have her, no one can. And that's dangerous. We've seen what happens in domestic situations where that mentality takes root. If I can't have her, no one can. If I can't have him, no one can. If I can't have my kids, no one can. What I'm saying by that is I believe personally, based on what I'm seeing out there publicly, that it looks as if current management at the NRA, led by Wayne LaPierre, is the top dog, the only dog, everybody else is gone, is really running this thing into the ground because he won't leave. If he won't go and he can't have it, nobody else is going to get it. And I think that's terrible. I think it's extremely destructive, and it could lead to the ultimate, complete, and total destruction of the National Rifle Association. And at this stage of the game, I ask this question of myself. I put myself in those shoes. Would I do that? If I had nothing to hide, why at that age, I can't imagine 10 years into my life now, having made millions off the back of my members, like Wayne has done, running a tax-exempt organization, and all this information were to come out, I would just say, you know, I've done nothing wrong, and I want to turn this over to the next team of leaders and let them do with it as they see fit. It's been a great run. That's what I would do. I would go away. And I think most clear-thinking individuals would do that. So I question anybody. That was my original deal. Why won't somebody do that? What is it that makes them want to stick around? That's my opinion. I believe we are at a point with the National Rifle Association, based on what I'm seeing, based on what I'm reading in various reports, that we're at a stage with the National Rifle Association where there are people at the top that are willing to run it right smack into the ground rather than move it forward with another team and let it continue to grow and do what it's supposed to do. That can happen. Trust me, that can happen. We got a lot of things to cover on the program today. How about this? How about Trump in Chicago yesterday? You know, the top cop in Chicago, I want to go back to Eddie Johnson in a couple minutes when we come back from the break, just for a few minutes. I talked about him last week. I want to talk about him again because I can. Wow. Couldn't happen to a better guy who has brought the wrath of Khan down on himself. This guy's a real loser. Trump was 100% correct about Eddie Johnson and that rinky-dink mayor in the city of Chicago as well. Terrible for the people of Chicago, the fine folks that live in that city. Chicago's a lot of fun. Your politicians make you look like morons. They really, truly do. Because people on the outside of Chicago and the rest of the nation look in and go, who's electing these people? It doesn't make you look good, Chicago. It really doesn't. I am sorry to say that. But when we come back from this break, I want to talk about Eddie Johnson briefly for just a minute. And then I want to cover a couple other things with you today. Lots to go over. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey, who laid down their lives and their fortunes forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by seven combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
The finest safes in the world are made right here in the United States of America. At Vault Pro, made in the USA still means something. Don't be fooled by companies that sell cheap foreign-made safes. Owning a gun is one of our most sacred liberties, and with that liberty comes the responsibility to protect our guns with a secure safe. But we don't stop there. At Vault Pro, we also manufacture the highest quality vault doors, storm shelters, and safe rooms. Custom built at your request. We employ high-tech CAD safe and vault door design to protect what's important to you from theft, fire, or weather. When protecting your guns, valuables, and family, invest in the best safes on the market. Vault Pro. Visit online today at VaultProUSA.com. That's VaultProUSA.com. And check out our entire line from the finest handgun safes to modular safe rooms. Vault Pro has you protected. AAR listeners, you'll never know what you might see at VaultProUSA.com. Protect what's important to you with a Vault Pro safe. Vault Pro is a veteran-owned company, strong supporter of Armed American Radio, and the Second Amendment.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Tired of leather holsters not holding up to EDC? Wouldn't it be great if your holster fit multiple handguns? Let me tell you about 1791 Gun Leather. With 100% American heavy native steer hide, leather artisans handcraft distinctive 1791 Gun Leather into multi-fit IWB and OWB holsters. Order now and enjoy quality, versatility, and the pleasant leather aroma. Call 800-407-1791 or go to 1791gunleather.com for an affordable, distinctive holster that'll last a lifetime.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
We'll be right back. This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is being sponsored by GunBroker.com, the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammo, and related accessories. That's GunBroker.com. Welcome back to the show.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, right back at you here for segment two. Eddie Johnson, the superintendent in Chicago, Illinois. What a joke this individual is. What a joke. Let me clarify something from the previous segment, by the way, as I was closing out segment one. When I talk about Chicago and I say, Chicago, it makes you look stupid. It really, truly does. I mean that. Now, I know you as an Armed American Radio listener, if you happen to live in Chicago, and many of you do, I get emails from you giving me the numbers. I love it. I know a lot of you who live there, many people who live there. And while Chicago is a great town, the politics in that town have stunk and rotted for decades. And the rest of the country looks back kind of like New York. Who's putting Schumer in office over and over and over and over again? Don't they even want somebody new in office? Aren't they sick of looking at this guy? In Chicago, it's just one thing after another. It's one lunatic after another. And then they appoint more lunatics. Now, Eddie Johnson, and I know you're trying to make a change. I know you are, those of you who vote, and I know you're overwhelmed. I know. You're overrun with liberals. It's like California voters. There's no hope for Republicans out there. There's just not. That's the way the pendulum has swung at this stage of the game. If you're a Republican out there, you are 100% inconsequential, period. You are at the mercy of the lunatics. Choose to violate their rules and laws and live your life privately out in the country somewhere, or get out. I know a lot of you can't do that. You got to stay and fight. I understand that. But I'm telling you, if those are your options right now, it's just that simple. If you stay and fight, God bless you for doing it. I know lots of you that do in cities like that, in New York, in California, in Chicago. I know you have to do it. Don't expect anything to Alexander in New Jersey. Don't expect anything to change in your lifetime. But you got to keep up the fight. That's why we keep doing what we're doing. I'm not telling you to give up. I'm telling you to dig your heels in and fight harder. You have to do it. At some point, there's going to be some change. But understand, if you're 35 years old, you're probably not going to see that change, that pendulum shift in California during your lifetime. How sad is that? Chicago, here's what makes you look bad. 436 people killed this year. 40s. This is today's number. Now, the number is higher today, because this came out at midnight from the Chicago Tribune, and it will update again. And I've got to give Chicago Tribune mad props. I've been using their numbers for years on this program. They do great work tracking the homicides in Chicago. 436 people killed in Chicago this year. That's 46 fewer people. That's a good thing than 2018, but numbers that are just off the charts. And if you look at the graph, which they have up for you by the month, January 5th, you see the numbers rising. 2013, 370. 2014, 365. 2015, 421. 2016, 632. 2017, 590. 2018, 482, which is good. So far now, 2019, 436. And I say good. It's not good. 482 people. Those are killed. There are thousands that have been shot and wounded that are not dead, or that are now breathing through tubes, or scooting around in scooters and wheelchairs, paralyzed. Then they break it down for Chicago. They break it down really good in the Chicago Tribune. Look it up. They've got an interactive, well, not interactive, it used to be, but there's not now. I forget who does the interactive one. But Chicago Tribune will show you where the homicides happened for the previous 365 days. There's a red splotch, which is quite befitting, on every spot where a homicide has occurred over a map of the city. It talks about age. And then it gives a list of the victims of homicides. The vast majority of homicides in Chicago, handguns used by black males, black-on-black crime, gang violence in the city of Chicago. Does it shock anybody? So when we refer to Chicago, we do it for a reason. When I mention to you every town for gun safety and the fact that these people just keep coming after you, they're not looking at this, what we're talking about here. They don't care about this black-on-black crime in Chicago. They don't care. We give you these numbers. They don't. You don't see that David Hogg goofball running around the streets of Chicago begging for people or gangs to put their guns up. That's gun violence, if you want to use their phrase. That's where it's occurring. So you got Eddie Johnson, this, charlatan. What a joke this guy is. He's just a figurehead, I guess. I don't know what he does. He certainly isn't doing anything to help Chicago. What, is he going to take credit for 46 fewer than 2018? They'll try to do that from a political standpoint and not tell you that 436 is still way too high for the city of Chicago. It's too high for any American city. But Eddie Johnson apparently had a couple of drinks while changing medication and passed out in his car at a traffic light and gets away with it by simply claiming, as we told you last week, oh, you better investigate me, investigate me. The rest of the country's sitting there going, wow, if that was me, I would have been yanked out of the car, given a field sobriety test, and arrested. And this Donald Trump goes to Chicago yesterday, and this clown posse lunatic disrespects the office of the president and won't even meet with him because of political ideology. And then he goes off to claim that Trump's a racist and all this other crap. In the meantime, 436 people have been killed this year in this clown's city, and he's more concerned about making some kind of show. In the meantime, you've got the Fraternal Order of Police and the rest of them greeting Trump on the tarmac. I mean, the guy just looks like a buffoon. He looks like a moron. This Eddie Johnson character. And where's the mayor of a city that's got 436 people? That number's higher today. She should be seeking assistance. They can't put politics aside. They don't want to put politics aside. That's how far off the rails the Democrat left has gone. In a city that is racked with, quote unquote, their own phrase, gun violence. And there's a man there that can offer help to them, and they won't take it. They won't even talk to him because of partisan politics. That's how far off the rails they've gotten in Chicago. Meanwhile, all the rank and file officers in Chicago love him because they know that Donald Trump has the backs of law enforcement. Unlike the previous president, who put law enforcement on the defensive, and as far as I'm concerned, has blood on his hands with some of his statements that led to some of these killings of police officers around the country. Crazy stuff. I mean, it's just crazy times that we live in. So go check out ChicagoTribune.com, ChicagoTribune.com, tracking Chicago homicide victims. Now, in the very near future, I'll be able to put some of these things up on the web and so forth on the new website. And I am hopeful that we will begin seeing that new website roll out latter part of this week. Keep your fingers crossed, okay? That's going to be big news when it happens, because you'll be able to pick up some swag and some other fun stuff. So that's Chicago for you. That's Chicago in a nutshell. Really sad, pathetic place we are, that Donald Trump calls the city an embarrassment to the U.S. when he was there yesterday. And get this. And I before I close out Chicago, I have to tell you this. Eddie Johnson's decision to do that, to boycott Donald Trump's appearance in his city yesterday, you know what that did? It ticked off. It's satellite radio moment word off all the cops in the city of Chicago, the Fraternal Order of Police and others. They were upset. They were absolutely upset. It angered them. It angered them. The decision to boycott the event angered the city's chapter of the Fraternal Order of Police. And they put up on a Facebook post, such a gesture was an insult to both President Trump and the office of the presidency and would be a mark of disgrace upon the city throughout the entire nation, including Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who also chose not to show up. Nice work there, socialists. Nice work. More when we come back.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012. 855-454-7012.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
The finest safes in the world are made right here in the United States of America. At Vault Pro, made in the USA still means something. Don't be fooled by companies that sell cheap foreign-made safes. Owning a gun is one of our most sacred liberties, and with that liberty comes the responsibility to protect our guns with a secure safe. But we don't stop there. At Vault Pro, we also manufacture the highest quality vault doors, storm shelters, and safe rooms. Custom built at your request, we employ high-tech CAD safe and vault door design to protect what's important to you from theft, fire, or weather. When protecting your guns, valuables, and family, invest in the best safes on the market. Vault Pro. Visit online today at vaultprousa.com. That's vaultprousa.com, and check out our entire line from the finest handgun safes to modular safe rooms. Vault Pro has you protected. AAR listeners, you'll never know what you might see at vaultprousa.com. Protect what's important to you with a Vault Pro safe. Vault Pro is a veteran-owned company, strong supporter of Armed American Radio, and the Second Amendment.
Hi, it's Mark Walters, your host of Armed American Radio. If your company sells only the highest quality products and you're looking for a way to reach these listeners, you're talking to the right guy. Armed American Radio has a package available to fit every budget, from startup to the seasoned advertiser looking for that perfect way to reach this massive audience on roughly 250 stations in the top markets in the nation. We're everywhere, and the show continues to explode across the country after 10 years. Together, we can help you reach a highly engaged and extremely knowledgeable audience. To hear your brand on this huge radio program for less than you ever thought possible, and to speak directly with me, reach out to CCW Broadcast Media LLC right away at mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. And together, we'll bring your brand to Armed American Radio listeners and keep this powerful voice for gun rights on the airwaves. Again, to speak directly to me, reach out to me at mark@armedamericanradio.org. That's mark@armedamericanradio.org.
I love a great success story, and Defender Coffee is one that I'm proud to bring to you. The crew at Defender Coffee understands our right to bear arms is under vicious attack as never before and donates 100% of profits to the Second Amendment rights organization of your choice. You heard that right. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends our freedoms. Get this. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today to enjoy great coffee and do your part to defend the Second.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense in these GunBroker.com studios. By the way, Lori Vogel, heard from you yesterday. Congratulations. And this morning, communicated with the winner of the GunBroker.com giveaway, the range bag, yesterday. And this morning, it was wonderful to be able to say, hey, congratulations. So that's going to be sent out here in the next day. And the Crossbreed Holster Super Tuck, Super Pack, CCW Pack also going to be out sent under separate cover. We're going to be giving another gun bag away in a couple of weeks. So stay tuned. Visit armedamericanradio.com. Put your name on the email list, and I'll let you know as soon as that comes out. That and some other fun news. Sponsors, please make sure to support them. And there are some good ones coming, too. You just wait. You just watch and see. The corporate partnership that we're putting together. Oh, we're going to have so much fun together as Armed American Radio listeners. Oh, we really, truly are. All right. The Atlantic. This is hard to read this without cracking a smile, because this is, you know, smarty pants trying to write as a bunch of smarty pants because they're so smart and they're so much smarter than you. Joshua Feinzig and Joshua Zoffer, these are Yale Law School students, both of them. The piece is titled A Constitutional Case for Gun Control. History and textual analysis. History and textual analysis aren't the only factors that matter. Our lives do, too. That's, keep this in mind. Again, you know me. When I look at something like this, just the headline, A Constitutional Case for Gun Control. Think about that. What does the Second Amendment say? a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, somebody out there is going, you put any emphasis on a well-regulated militia. Let me pin you to the mat. A well-regulated militia is you. That's you. And well-regulated in 18th century English means finely tuned and trained, like a well-regulated clock, for example. It does not mean government regulation for military use. It was designed that you, who are the militia, if called upon and if necessary, can help repel either a foreign enemy or a domestic enemy, which the Founding Fathers had just done. It's not that hard to figure out. Stay down. You don't want to get hurt. A constitutional case for gun control. There is no such thing on its surface when the Second Amendment means what it says and says what it means. History and textual analysis aren't the only factors that matter. What they're saying there is, we matter. You need to hear us. We're kids. You need to listen to us. Our lives matter. This is a march for our lives. This is what they're saying. They're like the little misfit toys that pop out of the little, you know, jack-in-the-box. Remember in Rudolph, we're getting ready to see that stuff? I'm from the land of misfit toys. I don't understand the Constitution the way it's read. I want to change it. That's what these kids are doing. Supreme Court briefs are not known for their colorful writing. Readers are far more likely to encounter austere Latin legalisms than gripping personal narratives. You see the way this is written. It was just in the first sentence. Yet March for Our Lives chose to upend this norm in its amicus brief, a legal filing written by an interested outside party in the upcoming Supreme Court case, New York State Rifle and Pistol versus City of New York. They link to the brief, and I'll go there probably in the next segment because it's important. We've covered this before on Armed American Radio, but it's fair to go out there again today because this case is going to be heard in about a month. A little bit over a month. I think 5 weeks from now, December 2, is when oral arguments begin in the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association case versus the City of New York. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're on their heels. They're petrified. That's why this type of writing is out there. Because, and it's what I'm going to do is I'm going to checkmate the writers of this article and the March for Our Lives instantly. It's too easy to do. But I want to show you how it's done. First, we have to present their case, their argument. The entire piece from these two Yale undergraduate students is based on emotion. We need the voices of March for Our Lives kids to be heard. Now, when you look at the brief, let me go there briefly now, pun intended. What they have done in the brief is filed in, as an argument. The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 kids situations at Parkland or survivors of gun violence, and they're using these kids as a method to try to sway in their amicus brief the Supreme Court to rule against New York State pistol and rifle, which means to rule against your right to bear arms, which means to continue to allow the state of New York to infringe on the rights of law-abiding people who had nothing to do with any of the situations that these kids found themselves in. None. But in the essence of time, it's so easy. It's so easy to do. Let me go back to what these two kids at Yale are talking about. They say the stakes are high. The case offers the court's conservative wing a vehicle to further solidify legal barriers to firearms regulation. They're talking about the Second Amendment to the Constitution, a decades-long project that has thus far been quite successful, in part due to the appeal of a unified constitutional narrative that pro-gun voices have invoked across both the legal and the political spheres. The Second Amendment, they say, protects an individual's right to gun ownership, a right rooted in deeply held notions of self-defense and individual reliance. Young men, both Joshuas, it's deeply rooted in our Constitution, placed there by our founders after much vigorous debate. And it wasn't debated as to the merits of the Second Amendment. It was debated should they put it in the Bill of Rights because it was seen as such an obvious right. And thank God they did. Now, these two youngins go on. For decades, gun control advocates have left this narrative partially unanswered, offering depressing statistics but no compelling constitutional principle. That's because there isn't one. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, keep in mind that everything that these two young boys are saying in Yale is an infringement. It's calling for an infringement. And it's funny to when you think about that, when you put that into context or you read something like this or you listen to this type of argument from someone who you might know, they're talking about trying in really big words as Yale writers to infringe, to argue for infringements that the Constitution clearly, clearly points out in the Second Amendment shall not be infringed. For decades, gun control advocates have left this narrative partially unanswered, offering depressing statistics but no compelling constitutional principle. They cannot afford to do so any longer. The March for Our Lives brief marks this beginning of a long-needed effort to offer a pro-gun control constitutional narrative, one that calls attention to the constitutional rights and goods vindicated by gun regulation. These include a collective understanding, and they have that emphasized, by the way, of self-defense, as well as constitutional guarantees such as the right to public assembly and interests such as access to public education. The point is that the right to bear arms is not the only constitutional commitment implicated in the guns debate, and the court ought to consider those other commitments as worth balancing with the right to bear arms, not as inherently subordinate to it. And what all that gibberish by those kids wanting to sound really cool means is, look, hey, court, you need to consider the fact that we have a right to go to school and we have a right to assemble without somebody else's Second Amendment right taking our lives. That completely ignores the fact that taking their lives is already against the law. It has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. These are mutually exclusive. They are not connected in any way, shape, or form. My right to bear arms to defend myself and my country is not tied to the criminal misuse of a firearm by a lunatic, period. And this is how convoluted they go throughout the entire piece to make this somehow justification that it's okay constitutionally to infringe on something that the Constitution says shall not be infringed upon. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue the conversation. You don't want to miss it because we're just going to pin them right to the mat. It's so easy to do. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
We've all put ourselves in a potentially unsafe situation. Whether it's commuting at an odd hour, parking the car in that badly lit garage, or taking that nighttime run. So let's be real. We're not going to stop doing any of those things. The Taser Pulse Plus is here to help you approach every day with confidence and give you that backup if you ever need it. With an effective safety distance of up to 15 feet, delivering a 30-second cycle of muscular incapacitation, the Pulse Plus now has even more advanced safety features. It connects to the mobile safety app Noonlight to dispatch emergency services as soon as the Pulse Plus is triggered. No fumbling for the phone, no freezing up in fear. Pull the trigger and help is on the way. Protect yourself and your family with the leading brand in less lethal self-defense technology, Taser Self-Defense. Visit buy.taser.com and use the code AAR for 10% off the purchase of a consumer Taser device. That's buy.taser.com with the code AAR for 10% off.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425 425-4712. That's 425-454-7012.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com. Today.
The Gun Box is the ultimate quick and accessible handgun safe, ideal for securing your firearm while not carrying on your person. Our cutting-edge technology and innovative safety features provide peace of mind while storing your handgun on a nightstand, desk, countertop, or anywhere you might need fast access. With a simple swipe of a finger, press of a custom key code, or the wave of an RFID card or fob, the Gun Box opens in seconds. Our modern design and sleek lines not only make it a great addition to any space, but is the perfect reason to bring your everyday carry gun out from hiding in the closet or the basement safe. Asking yourself, will my concealed carry weapon fit in the Gun Box? The answer is yes, as the Gun Box fits most full-size handguns with the room to spare for extra magazines, a blade, and other items you carry for protection. The Gun Box was designed to be your go-to gun safe and is absolutely the best alternative for fast and reliable handgun storage. Visit us at thegunbox.com and use code AAR at checkout for 10% off any purchase of $259. Order your Gun Box today at thegunbox.com and use code AAR for 10% off.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey. Who laid down their lives and their fortunes forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by seven combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Defender Coffee. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends your freedoms. Welcome back to the show. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense from the GunBroker.com studios continues. Crazy stuff being put out by the little leftists, okay, over at Yale Law School, trying to write this definitive piece about the constitutionality of gun control and how they are somehow trying to legitimize the infringement upon our right to bear arms that the Constitution says shall not be infringed upon. And they go into these really convoluted arguments. The basis of their piece, I don't have time to go through the whole thing. It's a fun read because you can see what these kids are doing. They're making, you know, lots of big words, you know, and it reads really well. They did a good job writing it. It's very well written. However, it is completely, completely baseless. There is no such thing as a constitutional case for gun control based on the words shall not be infringed, period. Now, somebody out there is saying right now, some leftist is saying, well, that's not what Scalia said because they've perverted the Heller decision. Well, Scalia said that doesn't mean that we're aware of that. We understand that. That's not what Scalia was saying. And the courts are going to, and that's what they're so petrified about this New York State Rifle and Pistol Association case, because they know they're going to lose it. But that's fodder for another show when we have more time to discuss that. I don't have enough time in this segment. We will discuss that. We will tie Heller together to this in an upcoming program, and we'll do it with Mr. Gottlieb and some others. Let's get back to what the basis of this piece is and what it is they're calling for. It's the amicus brief written by the kids at Parkland. And they give the cases of these horrific stories of these nine people who were victims of quote-unquote gun violence, to use their terms. Horrific to read. I've read the entire brief. You should read the brief. Horrific. But let's just, how about we pin them to the mat and then move on to something else? You want to do that? We do not make law. We do not legislate from the bench. And we do not make law based on emotion. It's that simple. We do not base constitutional law, young lawyers, on emotion. Imagine this in a courtroom. Let's just throw this out there. You ever been in a courtroom? Emotions can get very, very high. You got people's lives on the line. People are going to jail. Somebody's claiming they're innocent. Somebody's claiming they're guilty. You've got families on both sides who are really the victims of whatever occurred.
and you got the judge over here, and one side's crying harder than the other side, and the judge knows the other side over here is guilty. The case has been proven. It was a bench trial. He's getting ready to render, or she's getting ready to render a decision. And those people over there, though, they're crying even worse. The judge issues a decision based on who's crying loud enough because he just can't do it. He can't put that guy away for life, even though he knows he's guilty, because look what it's going to do to that family. It's not worth it. I can't harm those six kids. This man's a father of six kids. We can't put him in jail. It's his first offense. It doesn't matter that he killed their mother. These kids are now going to lose their father. We don't rule on emotion. And while each of those kids' individual circumstances is horrific, none of them have anything to do with my right to keep and bear arms to defend myself, my family, maybe you, or my country from itself, from a Beto O'Rourke who would send the state to come take my things, by the way, who's threatening to do just that. That's why it's written. We do not, let's put it in another perspective. We do not take away the rights of somebody to talk about a specific topic simply because it isn't politically expedient today to talk about that topic. We do not take away the constitutional rights, our First Amendment rights, of an individual to say something that is not politically correct at the time. That's not the way the Constitution works. That's not the way my rights work. And while each of those individual cases is horrific, not one of them have anything to do with my right to bear arms or the guns in my safe, period. The emotional argument will fall flat always. Unless you've got a court of nine liberal socialist justices who believe that the Constitution is just that, a flowing document, and that we can rule and can judge from the bench and we can make law based on emotion. Therein lies the difference between a Scalia and an Elizabeth Warren or a Beto O'Rourke or any other clown posse leftists who would say, well, these kids, they've been through everything. We've got to take everybody's guns. It's a checkmate every single time. It's not hard to do. We do not rule. The rule of law, I should say, in this country is not based on emotion. It is based on fact and the rule of law. Other leftists, Joe Biden is now out. Surrender your AR-15 or register it with the government. Hey, Joe, no, come and take it. I'm not giving it to you. The threat isn't come and take it, Joe. The threat is you telling me I have to surrender my property or register it with you. The answer to that is no. This is now part of Joe Biden's plan, if you will, to pay you as an AR-15 owner to surrender your gun. Or maybe he'll let you keep it as long as you register it with him. Not just the AR-15, by the way, but the AK-47. Variants of both of them and other guns that they deem to label as assault weapons, whichever ones they pick. Complete. It's up to them. It's up to Feinstein. It's up to Biden. It's up to Warren. It's up to Beto. It's up to Swalwell. It's up to all of them. They get to pick and choose, just like Washington State, where every single rifle is now essentially an assault rifle. Oh, and by the way, he wants to apply that to your high capacity magazines. Here's what Biden's campaign indicates. He will give those, think about this, I will give you, those of you who possess assault weapons or high capacity magazines, I am going to give you two options. Sell the weapons to the government or register them under the NFA, National Firearms Act. Oh boy. Bump stocks. I'm going to be talking about them tomorrow. Let me briefly lead, because bump stocks come into play here. If you remember, I told you months back when the DOJ, the ATF, was able in the Trump administration to rewrite the definition of a bump stock as a semi-automatic firearm. They call it a firearm. It has no moving parts. None. It doesn't fire anything. It just harnesses the recoil of a semi-automatic weapon. But it's now considered a gun. If they can do that to the bump stock, they can now decide, well, wait a minute. If that man can bump fire his weapon without a bump stock just by using his thumb and a loop and a belt hole or whatever it may be, or a belt loop, Well, then it isn't the bump stock. It's the actual semi-automatic that's the real machine gun. I told you that that was going to come. Now you're seeing Joe Biden tell you, you're going to give me your gun, which isn't going to happen, Joe. You're going to have to come and get it from me. Or I'm going to have to register them under the National Firearms Act, which I'm not going to do ever. So we're in a quandary here, bro. What are we going to do? You're telling me to give it to you. I'm telling you no. You're telling me to register it then, and I'm saying not ever going to happen. Your move. What happens then? This is where they put us. But that when I mention here, when Joe Biden says register them under the National Firearms Act, that covers fully automatic weapons. But wait a minute. They can do that. That's why I go to the bump stock deal. Now, by the way, the reason I want to talk with you about bump stocks is because a court case came down and they found that taking your bump stocks was not a violation of the Constitution's taking clause because they provided no compensation. And the manufacturers who made them legally, up until they decided to write it out and say, well, it's not legal anymore because we're going to change the definition of it, even though Obama tried and couldn't do it. There are companies that lost hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars when their products were taken from them and destroyed with no compensation from the government. Taken and destroyed. I couldn't ever find mine. I don't know where it went. I didn't drive it to an ATF location, but it's gone. I don't know what happened to it. Whatever. I'll probably never see it again. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is going to get up and do it again because we can and because they don't want us to. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I hope you enjoyed John Lott yesterday. I promise you'll enjoy the show tomorrow. Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll see you on the radio.